Tonight on Survivor with J-Jack and Colleen, we're going to discuss and recap Season 41, Episode 5, Strategist or Loyalist. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Survivor with J-Jack and Colleen. My name is Jay.
My name is Colleen.
And I'm Slow Motion Failure.
And welcome to the show. Yeah, that was a weird, the Ricard slow-mo shot where it didn't actually equal the win was a really weird choice.
Yeah, I go, wait, I thought he had knocked any down. I go, hey, he hadn't knocked any down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, it doesn't matter if he makes this or not.
Yeah, I'm curious to see like what, I don't know, what the editors were thinking.
They're trying to mix things up this season.
They definitely are, and I like some of them, right? I like the flashback kind of thing they're doing with not showing you the reveals like they did with Nasir today. Really dug that, and they've been doing it a few times. So
didn't you call that last week, that happening? Somebody called that happening.
I did. I said, but mine was more around the dice roll, which we actually got clarification from a comment on our YouTube page. I'll pull it up in a second, but thoughts on this crazy episode of Survivor where they still haven't merged and may still not merge for a while. But Colleen, what's your initial thoughts here?
Great episode, very entertaining. We got, you know, strategery, we got alliances, new alliances. Mom and dad were fighting and it was okay in the end, but it was a little nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
We got Shan's theme song was played again. I didn't bring attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
We even got like the Dodo edit with poor Jeannie, who was like, yeah, no, I'm here to play. Like, I know you guys would never like betray me. And it was like,
Yeah,
amazing. I don't know if Shan is gonna win because I think everyone sees how threatening she is.
Do they though?
Well, yeah, Jeannie and Ricard.
Do, but it's just Ricard now, and he seems to be in lockstep.
Is he though? I think Ricard knows that at some point he's.
Oh well, yeah, of course.
I think he's keeping her around for a shield.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, clearly.
But he's such like a concierge role to like, I feel like there. Ricard has a good point where he's come up with a lot of really good strategy, and then Shan is able to actually execute it. And so I think they are a really good dynamic duo.
Well,
so
he's trying not to get his hands dirty.
Well,
yes,
that
but I don't know if that's a winning argument at the end if Shan's not there anymore.
Well, if she's not there, but you know, isn't that also what happened with JT and Steven, right? Steven was kind of the brains and JT was.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the Shans win in that scenario, not the brains of
not, yeah, not the Ricards.
No, and I'm not saying brains to negate Shan's gameplay. No, I think she's executed really, really well.
They're both really good players, but they're both snakes. Mm-hmm. So there's no way that alliance stays.
Oh no, they're going to be frenemies from here on, I think.
I think the bickering they had, I think that opened the can.
I agree. I think that opened the can. And I think that Shan having an out with Liana and even that comment, like, you know, he's my number one, but if I go home, he can't be trusted. And, you know, there's nothing like hearing that. Like, you know,
I think she hurts her game though by all these things. Well, give me back the idol. Give me back this. Give me back. Yeah, it's just like.
Well, no, I don't think she hurts her. I think she hurts her game with Ricard because Ricard was in on it all the other times. Mm-hmm. If she had tried that play with Jeannie, or maybe even anybody else that wasn't like the brains behind it the first time, and of course, like Ricard was right. Like, why am I going to give this back to you? This, you know, he basically played like the way that JD should have played, like,
mm-hmm.
you
know?
Right,
yeah.
Which is, I'll just give it back to you dangerous. After the
end. Yeah.
But can we just talk about Queen, Goddess?
Before we do that, just real quick, I did want to plus, like I promised before, plus in this comment that was put on the actual video post last week. Yeah. And this is a regards to the dicing and what I said. So I've been doing the rounds tonight, posting about the rules of the shot in the dark die, and it's not a roll. If you decide you want to take the shot in the dark gamble, you go up to vote, drop your die into an urn, and then draw one of six pieces of paper, one of which says safe, five of which say unsafe from a container. You then return to your seat, and when Jeff does the prompt for people to play advantages or idols, you take the piece of paper you drew and read aloud, and if it says safe, you're safe, and if any votes cast against you don't count. Otherwise, you're still vulnerable, and all you achieved was a sacrifice, your vote.
Should Jeannie have done that today?
Yes.
That's still confusing.
No, it just you drop your die.
Yeah.
And you pick the you pick between one and between six pieces of paper, right? It either says safe or screw you.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's like jacks. You like.
Well, no, you just drop the die. It doesn't matter what the die roll is, I believe. It's the paper, which paper you select has the safe or not safe.
But Jeannie should have. I was like, come on, Jeannie. Because I said there's no way Shan or Ricard are going home.
But then again, I give that to Ricard and Shan's game plan here and making her feel like she had a chance. And, you know, it's definitely the...
But she's been on the bottom the whole time.
I understand,
but... She doesn't even see... I mean...
She doesn't see it, and so, you know, they have left Jeannie feeling like this.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
And she feels like she has a shot, so she doesn't even play the thing. Which, again, I give... The fact that they're together, and if they can stay together, and I feel like the drama was played a little bit up on the episode, they can go a really far way because Shan and Ricard are a power duo, a force to be reckoned with. And
well, the problem is they're going to merge with no alliance.
That's perfect.
But that's perfect. I mean, how many times have we seen the leftover, random leftovers from the tribe that gets like demolished go on to win or go to the final three?
Because look,
it happens. But I think eventually they'll cut the throats of one of them.
But they don't. They're not going to be paying attention to them because
I'm saying Ricard and Shan eventually will.
Oh, cut each other's throats.
Yeah, because they know the gameplay. I mean, it's just like
Well,
they're both very strategic,
you're right.
And they're both very good at what they do. So one person's going to have to.
Has to cut the other one. But that's the thing, we're going to have to see how it shakes out next week. Because I guess they don't. They maybe merge.
I didn't watch the previews. I was running around.
Well, the previews kind of are non-committal. They're kind of non-committal. So
if they did this? Just took. Shan put her on one tribe.
Yeah.
And took Ricard and put him on another tribe. That's what they should do.
It doesn't seem like that's what's going to happen. It sounds like there's a merge of some sort, but it's not a normal merge.
Yeah.
Like there's some kind of twist to it. So I guess we'll see.
I guess we'll wait and see for next week.
Since I truly hope that we get to the finale show, you know, with the five or six people left and both Shan and Ricard are still in it. Because I am having a great time watching their partnership / now frenemyship.
They're compelling TV. They're playing the game really, really well. They're playing the game in a modern way that I really like. And adapting to all of these, like the stupid idol that everybody knows what the idol is.
At least they put it in a place where people could find it this week.
Right. Can we please talk about how... Awesome.
Before we get into anything more, hold on one second, if I could. I do want to acknowledge the chat and the people that are here with us right now. Live, okay. Sherry's in the house as well as Ro. Elena is here and Chris Doran as well. So thank you all the people that hang out with us live as we record these episodes.
To join us, Jay posted in the Facebook group and I have been tweeting the link on Twitter, which is Jay at Jay and Jack.
And normally I'm not late.
And then I retweet it from my Twitter.
You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. If you click that bell icon. So that's that. All right, now, Colleen, now you can go.
Let's talk about how amazing it was that Shan now has an extra vote and 1/3 of an immunity idol. And she didn't find either one. Like, that's some masterful gameplay right there. Like,
well, it's, I don't think it's one third. I think she has an idol now. It's not a shared idol.
Because what good is one third?
That's the whole point. Because
no, the whole point was the whole you lose a vote and it's useless until they do the stupid thing they did today. Finally.
Well, yeah, but now they have to make sure that they protect those other two people.
No, they don't.
If they go out, then
hey, over here, here's that idol.
Yeah, no, I think that the, all three idols are active. I think that's how I interpret it. Otherwise, it's so dumb on so many levels. You're gonna make it
because what's your name? Because what's dumber? I forget her name, but she's gonna take Xander's idol.
Liana.
Yeah, because she knows he has it, right?
Yeah.
She was.
Now that's a cool advantage. Knowledge is power.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
That's a pretty cool one.
Which Shan gave her. So Shan has built these connections beyond just her tribe.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny. So we keep saying that, you know, Shan and Rickard are going to be like golden because nobody's going to pay attention to them. And that's true with the exception of that, like, Deshaun and Danny are super aware of the fact that usually the biggest tribe left at the merge, the one that hasn't gone to tribal council yet, they end up turning on themselves. And they are very also, it seems like they're very aware of the history of that happening. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not they truly go with their desire to get Erica out, or if they're like, we got to stay, what is it, blue strong, green strong?
They're blue.
It's not yellow.
They're blue.
They're blue. Okay.
Aren't they? Yeah, I think they're blue.
Yeah, blue. Nasir's team?
Nasir's team.
Yeah, it's blue.
How come Nasir didn't put two and two together that they were probably throwing the challenge the time before?
Maybe he did, but it wasn't compelling to the storyline.
It was only two people doing it, so I think it was subtle enough. Like, if you're all in it and there's things going on, it's hard to probably... Okay. You don't have you only have two sets of eyes or one set of eyes. You don't have a bunch of cameras.
Suddenly became unathletic.
Sherry again, says,
"Dude, retying knots in front of his tribe, and nobody notices." But
I think that was still subtle. Personally, that's what I think. Sherry says, "Shan and Rickard would be at a huge disadvantage if that happened, Jack. One going to one team, one going to the other. They'd be voted out first if either team lost." I don't think that is what's going to happen. It's a different type of thing.
Here's the deal. Win some challenges and you don't have just two people left.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, why are we rewarding the team that keeps losing?
Because, I mean, they're down to two people.
I get that. I get that.
Riddle me this. Riddle, and we'll get to Sherry's comment in a second.
They're incompetent.
Incompetent. Let's be honest. One team had professional football players and somebody who's a survivalist, you know, that can like live in the jungle. Like, there was
one team has a mermaid.
And that same team has a mermaid, an actual mermaid.
Which helps you in the swimming challenges.
So, you know, I have to say, Debbie was never a mermaid, so...
Well, and that's... I want them now because each week she says some outlandish thing about herself. They need to start putting, like, when she said, "I'm a mermaid," they need to put... I can't remember her name. Is it Sydney? Sydney, mermaid.
Who's that girl, the one... She was the lone person left. I think it was it was filmed in Mexico. I think Danny...
Oh, Stephanie? No, Danny. Danny,
no, Danny won it that season, but she was alone. Her tribe kept losing and losing and losing and losing.
Wasn't her name Stephanie? That's one of the few scenes I've actually never seen.
It might have been, but she was all by herself, and she was when they finally got to emerge, she was at disadvantage because there's nobody left.
Yeah, I think
when they go in as a pair. But, I mean, I don't know. I think Shan has the advantages that she has. It is Stephanie. Thank you, Chris. I think that Shan is really good at forging connections and molding people like putty in her hands.
But even Jeannie was able to.
Advantage in an emerge situation.
But even Jeannie figured that out.
Yeah, right.
She basically said it, the thing that she's, you know, and I think when they merge, I think Rickard is going to go looking for other people.
I don't think so. I think if they stick together, that's two, and they have the extra vote, that's three. And then all they need is a couple people that are on the outs, and the Blue Tribe has so many people that haven't been tested yet that, you know, I think they're in a good position. So I know it seems like they aren't, but I think as long as – and clearly, and Chris agrees with Elena, it doesn't sound like a traditional merge based on Jeff Probst's Impractical Joker imitation.
Yeah, what do we think that is?
What's the new
not
merge?
A traditional merge? Like half of them go to the ship wheel wreck island and climb a tree a mountain, and don't the other know. And they have their merge feast there. And the other half,
what else? Normally, traditional merge, they pick buffs, right?
That's a swap. But like a traditional merge, they all get the same color buff, and then they all get drunk, and then, you know, they fight over who they want to keep and who they scramble for sides.
So here's my question. They put it in the preview, which to me means that is actually probably not that big of a difference, you know? Like they wouldn't announce the twist that early unless it was kind of a lame twist, I think. Right? Because if it was a really good twist, they would want to if the preview would rather say it's a merge, but then leave like the actual twist for the show, right? Versus priming us that it's not going to be a traditional merge. And maybe it's to your point, Colleen, like there's no feasts. You just have to merge now or something. And you pick the worst tribe's place to live.
Yeah.
To make it hard. Like, that to me would be, like, the lame version of it's the merge, but drop the one, carry the four, times two, square root of seven, the hypotenuse of three.
Oh, hypotenuse.
Episodes of season of Survivor. But that's my take, but what do y'all think of this special merge?
I don't know, but spoiler alert, the at-home kids game was learning curve today.
It was now, learning spelled as a curve.
5 for 5 on
what
that
I
one.
Love is, you know, watching this show with Colleen. It's one of my joys of my life.
I watched it with Zach.
And
I was going to ask if he stayed up for it.
Yeah.
And so Colleen, every time there's the kid game within a game, it's for the kids. Colleen's like, I figured it out. I got it. It's learning curve. I'm like, yes, it's for children. But congratulations.
Hey, the one last week was kind of hard. It took me a second because you had the red four or red E. So it was ready four, not, you know, E4, ready four. Like, you know, you had to apply some. I don't know. I love those kinds of games.
It's like you have to apply smarts. You got to use your smarts and your head and your mind for these games. It's not so easy, Jeff. It's not so easy. 3-2 for this merge, or it might be pairs. But that's the thing, is like then it's not a merge. To Jack's point, it's just a swap. So you,
it looked like they were all putting the same buff on. So I wonder if like they merge, but three people have to leave camp for the ship island.
Three people have to be quick at saying butterflies fly and
butterfly in the sky.
I don't know, dude. That was awesome, though. Come on, that was a good payoff. Where all of a sudden, Zero is like,
or the challenge. The challenge is
vote on AstroTurf, and it was like, actually, this kind of works because like it's such an Asirism, and nobody has said it before. That it was actually kind of a good payoff. Kinda,
you know, I don't want to be the actor critiquer in this, but he didn't quite land the line. But I know it's English is a second language for him.
Exactly, and that's, I think, made it even better.
But he said it better when he was practicing.
On, how you say AfroTurf.
He said it better in practice. That's awesome.
What if the merge was, and I think they've done this before, is they merge, do a challenge, and go straight to tribal.
Yeah, that's. I think it would be more a twist like that. Like, I don't necessarily think the arrangements of the people
because
are
there's
be
no time to talk. You
yeah,
do
exactly.
The challenge, and you go straight to tribal.
But that's not
in
as
that
fun.
Case, it would be Erica because Danny and Deshaun.
Who's she?
Like that tribe has six, and everybody else is going to be like, "Oh, not it."
Who's Erica?
Yeah, she playing. Well, why would you vote Erica off?
Because they don't. They've been wanting to get her off.
Yeah,
but she's no threat.
She's their RC. Even
but when you have a tribe with two people, they're no threat either for them. Yeah. But here's the thing.
Actually, no, Sydney's their RC. Let's be honest.
If they futz with because the merge episode's always one of the most fun, because that's when all the gameplay finally starts to happen. Like all
maybe they go to Applebee's.
Or Outback.
No, Applebee's, my favorite restaurant.
I feel like they've used them all, but dude, if they gave me some Bloomin' Onions or bacon cheese fries in the middle of the desert, I mean, God bless anybody that had to be next to me after it was over, sleep next to me, but I would enjoy it.
As someone that has to sleep next to you regularly, it's in our contract, marital contract. I should have my lawyer look over that beforehand, but yeah, I would loathe anyone that had to sleep next to you after Aussie cheese fries and or a Bloomin' Onion.
For the first time when I had rice for like the previous.
Wouldn't it make you really thirsty though?
These Aussie fries are making me thirsty.
No, that would be the one thing, is it would be like, it would go against every single natural instinct in my body. But if we had a merge feast, I would not drink. I know, right? That's so funny. But like, honestly, I would be focused like eye on the prize. Like
I can't drink.
I would be the one that was blabbing everything.
You said it with a straight face. I that was pretty good.
What I love is the earnestness in Colleen's voice.
Well, no, because I recognize that I would have to not drink at a merge feast because I would be the blabbermouth and it would literally be probably my game. So I would not be able to do that.
And having been with Colleen for 14 years, and I know how many times, like, you know what? I'm not gonna drink at this thing. It's not going to happen. Don't worry about me. Hey, you want some wine? Woo! Party!
That's not entirely true. I feel like there's like a pre-Zach divide and a post-Zach divide. There's a pre- sertraline divide and a post-sertraline divide that you're just not accounting for here.
Okay, all right. Hey, listen, I have always said I would enjoy you going on Survivor because I would have the house to myself for 38 days. No, I think you would be a great player.
I would be a terrible player.
You would do good.
I did have a question. Why did it take Xander and was it?
Oh my God!
So long to fill up the water.
They only had
two things. I'm like going, what's taking so long?
They're chatting, but can we talk about how bad his lie was?
Yeah. Well, she was saying you need to bury it. Well, I'm just going to leave it in my bag. Trust everybody when I leave the area. Have you not watched Survivor before?
No, I honestly do think that it is. I don't like the going through the bag thing. Like, I feel like there is a line. And something like that is...
But I'm a pirate.
What?
I'm a pirate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, even then, like...
Elena's calling you out, Colleen. Like, sending everyone home at 11:30 on a meetup weekend.
You know, exactly. Elena, if this was the broadcast, I would have a different response for you, but I'm just going to smile and nod.
Colleen's a pure extrovert. She is a capital E extrovert. There is not a scenario in which... drink and be merry is presented to her in which she will not imbibe by.
I am half Greek and half Italian.
I know. That's what I'm. It's in your genes. I'm not questioning it.
Pretty much 50-50. Like,
sure you're not Irish?
It's 100% Southern Mediterranean there. You know what?
I'm mostly British and Irish with a little bit of Italian. So I keep all my emotions inside. And then I also have the Italian guilt. So I'm just a whole bunch of repressedness at all times. why we love
I'm
you,
Swiss. I'm just neutral.
That's what you think. Carol Landers says, I just finished the episode. And I
figured, Carol Landers.
I'm sorry, Carol.
I figured out where I've heard.
You were thinking North Carolina, and you said Carolinas.
No, so I didn't.
Carolinas. That's what sounded like me.
Shenanigans. Shenanigans.
He's been at the merge feast. Forgive him. He doesn't know what he's saying right now.
I just finished the episode, and I figured out where I have heard Shan's theme song before. It's driving me crazy. It's the opening notes to Mario Land of Oz. Yeah, ha, ha, oh, ho, ho, and I go, tra-la-las.
That's how
I like to play all day.
In the merry old land of Oz.
That's
and that's just a big lie, right? So that's why she hums it.
But wow. it is different though, because it's ha 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 oh, ho ho and a couple of tra la la.
Yeah, but she's inspired by that totally.
It's very similar. It's very similar.
It's similar, but in the but court not of similar, law, not similar enough that they had to pay royalties.
In the court of law, no, I don't think they would. I don't think they would. But the whole what's that inappropriate song from Alan Thicke and.
Got name? These blurred lines.
Yeah, where the Marvin Gaye song had, and I was just like, oh, I don't think that counts, but they gave it to him anyway. As much as I love
no,
Marvin Gaye.
No. They did very. No, it's not like the Sam Smith song that sounded like the.
No, he used that was like using the same exact melody, the Sam Smith song as "Stay with Me," which is the same melody as "Stand" or "Won't Back Down" from Tom Petty.
Yeah, "Won't Back Down." That's it.
But they immediately recognized it and gave him a royalties. Jack is falling asleep. He doesn't care about music royalties. Let's move.
Oh, I do. I'm still trying to figure out how Ghostbusters was. Huey Lewis song, Power
it
of Love.
It wasn't, and what's beautiful about that situation is they settled out of court, but they couldn't talk about it, and then Huey Lewis and the News did a Behind the Music on VH1 and talked about the Ghostbusters song. So then Ray Parker Jr. countersued Huey Lewis and the News, and yeah.
I like Huey Lewis and the News.
So do I.
I saw them in concert. They're very good.
I like them both, clearly.
Yes.
Ghostbuster fan. But the fact that Ray Parker Jr. could write one song for a movie and live a life of luxury post making that song. Good for him.
That is a dream right there.
Right? Ernie Hudson. One of my favorite quotes from Ernie Hudson is he said, I went to Ray Parker Jr.'s house. I wish I would have written the song instead of star in the movie.
Well, you've heard about the guy, the original MASH, movie was the theme song of Suicide is Painless.
Yeah.
Well, who's the director? I forget who it was, but he wanted some crazy song, so he told his 14-year-old son, hey, can you just come up with a song for this? And he came up with Suicide is Painless. It was just supposed to be a joke. He's made millions off that song.
Well, I hope he paid for his kid's college with that.
No, he's the kid.
A millionaire.
Oh, the kid.
The kid is the
yeah, good for him. That's awesome.
I mean, I'm drawing a blank on the it's a famous director, but it's like
because if you think like how much that's been syndicated over and over and over again,
wait, are you saying that Shan needs to make sure she gets royalties every time?
I think Shan gets credit for the song, and they are playing it on the thing. I'm just saying
Shan's working on it right now, knowing her.
I'm a Shan fan.
I'm sure she is too, unless she's breathlessly, eagerly waiting to find out if she won $1 million.
She get more.
I'd want the royalties though. Probably.
Exactly. I want that royal. Listen. If anybody knows anything about Hollywood, it's not about that first paycheck. It's about that residual paycheck. All right.
Yes. That's Chris Dorn knows everything. Robert Altman. Yes.
Robert Altman. There you go.
Chris Dorn was 14 when he wrote that.
Damn.
That's impressive. Right. To be honest.
Back to the game. Back to the game. All right.
Oh sure. When I come up with one, we have to go back to the game.
No, Jack. I loved it. You didn't offer Colleen some wine that she says, I'm not going to drink today. This is the merge feast. No drinks.
Colleen, why aren't you drinking? Oh, she's not drinking because she's got secrets.
She doesn't want to spill the secrets.
So let's vote her out.
Exactly. See? You can't do it, Colleen.
Can't do it. Can't. You got to drink.
Yep.
Just can't be what's his name. Who was that guy that won the fourth one? And he got drunk and he started saying how he had a Corvette. Stuff and he almost lost it because of it. He was the porn star.
There's a porn star winner?
Well, he was like a soft porn guy. And Glenn, no, what was his name? It was like the third or fourth one. It was the one where the woman cried about the chicken and she buried the bones of the chicken.
Are you talking about Survivor?
I'm talking about Survivor.
You mean,
Brian, thanks.
I said hi something.
Yeah, I was about ready to ask Chris. Okay, Chris, who is it? It's Brian, yes.
Okay. Well, I thought you were talking about somebody that got voted off fourth, and I was like,
No. He got drunk and he starts talking about his life and all this stuff.
Right, because didn't he have like dogs that were like
And then there was they got videos sent to him and his wife was showing his house and all this stuff, and people were like, why are we going to give this guy $1 million? Mm-hmm. So it almost killed him, but
right.
But he won.
Yeah.
Some lady that was a bird or a chicken that they ate, but she buried the bones and was crying.
Anyway, can we talk? Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. I don't remember.
That's fine. Can we talk about
from drinking?
Ha 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 ha. All right. Anyway. Yeah. So Xander is a terrible liar. That was awful. That was like painful, awful. I like Xander and I don't like Tiffany and all the faces that she makes.
Oh, I hate Tiffany.
Well aware that I'd probably make those faces. However,
she's trying to do the Jim Halpert, but it's not working.
No, it's not working.
It's not at all.
So bad. So bad.
But okay. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I don't even know what he was doing. It was awful.
I just found it.
Yeah, I was like, why would you say that? Like, I don't.
Everybody, even when like everyone knows that you've talked about butterflies.
Exactly.
And
that's
like
you should have known that you've made that weird comment.
Plus
that's...
half the tribe before they knew it anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Lame.
But he goes, all of a sudden he goes to Tiffany, I trust you. And plus, you know, she knows she teaches kids.
Yeah, she's like, she teaches dishonest kids.
She's forgiving. Because this is Survivor and we forgive people.
Right. It's outplay and forgive. And she's a mom. She knows when you're BSing her.
It's outwit, outplay, and forgive, right? That's the three things there. I'm pretty sure that's the motto.
Today is forgive.
Hey, how about Jeff Probst realizing that the night scenes and the night shots were not giving him the best look, and he went to a daytime shot?
Oh my God! Yes, after that whole scene, Probst had like this play the game or whatever it was, and he had this daytime filter on his face. Like his hair looked great; the gray was blended in like super nice. Like it's what you vote for, right? Like in post COVID grayness. But like the filters on his face, I was like, I gotta get me that. Like that's like the Instagram filters that they've had lately, where you know you can talk and like you just look perfect. Like,
can I just say something real quick?
Just did that
about like looking our best. So if you notice, Jack and I, look at how nicely evenly proportioned we are in the shot.
Actually, yeah, you guys do look filtered.
Not even filtered. I'm just saying. Look at, we are even within the shot.
Yeah, I got like lines. I got all.
No, it's not about your lines, but look at how short you are.
I got paint all over me.
Yeah. I've been awake for almost 24 hours. So
but look at how Jack and I are centered in the frame of the picture. You see us here. Colleen, you look like you're a little kid in like a seat that's too big for her. You need to lift up the seat. Or
you gave me this seat.
I did.
You can come to the big person's table.
Yeah, it's like you're in the little. It's like I'm a part of the podcast.
I'm in a turtleneck. I'm chillaxing. I got
I'm a big kid.
10 p.m. vibes going on.
It's the professor.
Okay, focus, people.
I'm just trying to help you professionally, Colleen.
I didn't get Xander's whole lying thing, and Tiffany, I don't know.
I know she. You know. I think Tiffany's going far. Like, I think she might be like final six far, but gosh, they don't do her any favors with the edit. Like once in a while you're like, oh yeah, Tiffany's got a point here or whatever. Like, you know, with the lying thing, but whatever.
Well, that's how you know she's not winning. And to hear you say that she's going to go far. This is my reaction.
No! I think maybe she's hamming it up.
Of course she's hamming it up. Like Long Islanders, their steady state, like their static state is to ham it up. There is no subtle in their
presentation. That's because there's nothing to do on Long Island except ham it up or become a cop or a teacher or an accountant.
Like every show I watch now, when they talk about Long Island, it's never a compliment.
Oh, did you make it to the Only Murders in the Building Long Island episode?
Yes.
So good.
I'm up to, well, I won't spoil anybody.
Did you say what episode you're up to? You just have to, what number?
I don't know the name of the episode. I can't figure out how to say it without spoiling someone.
That's okay. Then we won't. We're going to go watch the finale after we're done.
But my one question.
The silent episode.
Oh, that was a great one.
The silent episode. That's so unique and different.
It was. Jack, my question for you as a longtime Steve Martin fan and Martin Short fan, what are your thoughts on the series just from like being a fan of those people?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's like a good show, right? But they're also still funny. Like, there's just some really laugh out loud funny.
When Martin Short is leaning and he falls out of the chair, it's just hilarious. I mean, it's just. But I'll save it for after the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen after show. Anyway.
All right. So after the immunity challenge, in which, Yasa wins. Blue, who I can never remember, comes in second, and then Uwa Green loses. Womp womp womp. They have to go back to the oh, by the way, before we get so Liana and Shan have to go to the Shipwreck Island. But how the faces of the women on the Yellow Tribe, the Yasa Tribe, when Nasir completes it, and they're like, "Shit." Oh my God, he now has the idol. He's not like neutral after all. That was kind of awesome.
I think I missed that part.
They stole his vote. They just know that he's like, you know, Shen is playing on a whole other level than everybody else.
Yes.
Like Liana and Evie and Tiffany. Like, I think that their idea of stealing a vote is actually literally taking the piece of paper and being like, it's mine now.
Which you can't do.
They take the flint and just burn it. Right. But I think Ricard made a great point. We've had to play the game.
Exactly.
We've had to play the game. I mean, that is, you know, that's a big deal.
And that tribe hasn't. They haven't had to go to tribal once.
Yeah. I mean, when you don't have to go to tribal, again,
that's the green.
No, yeah, blue hasn't gone to tribal.
Blue team hasn't had to go.
No, you don't make enemies.
Yellows had to go. But then they had to play the game, and then they came baby turtles and flew into the sea.
Yeah, I mean, they lost the first two, but then the green team has just been just losing. Yep.
It's a double-edged sword. I think you don't want to keep losing because you have a greater risk of being sent home. But for those that survive, the ones that are left over, they're battle tested, and where the other tribes that they're going to merge into are not, and that's an advantage.
And with Ricard and Shan, at least they've been on the same page. It's not one of those things where you merge and I mean, how many times you've seen where two people are left, but they don't really trust each other. So at least they're on the same page for now.
Exactly.
But I don't think they trust each other.
No, well, of course you don't, right? But I think they're both smart enough players to realize there's a certain level of trust where I trust you. But understanding that, and that's what I love about Shan in this moment, she wasn't like she went off. She's like, I know, but I still trust Ricard, so I'm still good. Like, that's the thing, that mistake that gets made. But she's like, of course they're going to talk about voting me out. It would be stupid for them not to do that. Yeah. And so that's what I did appreciate about all three of them. They were honest and just say, like, of course, like, I'm gone. It's just the two of them. It would only make sense for them to make their pitches on how to get rid of me. And then once I came back, we then all made our pitches to each other on why we should keep each other.
They would have loved to have gone into the merge with Jeannie with them. Obviously.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Because I think she was pretty loyal.
Yeah,
She didn't play or die. I mean, it was her only.
If she played the die, it would have been one of them.
Huh?
If she played the die, it possibly could have been Ricard or Shan.
Well, I know, but her only chance was. I mean, I knew she was gone.
Colleen didn't think so. She thought Ricard was getting
the. I was nervous.
I wasn't buying it.
Shan cut JD last week, and JD was like a loyal little puppy.
Yeah,
dog,
but Ricard and Shan have been twight from day one.
They're completely different players. Yeah. JD is not in their class.
No,
a player.
That's very true.
I think Ricard is right.
The class of Survivor player, they are like, you know, valedictorian and salutatorian of the. Survivor 41 season. Like,
nerd reference. I don't get that, nerd.
I was in the top 10% of my class, okay? I graduated, I think it was number 9 or 11.
Hey, listen. D's you were number one? Degrees.
I did not want to be number one, but no, I was not number one.
Who doesn't want to be number one?
In
so you want you,
somebody that has anxiety and can't handle
so, the pressure. So you're on the side. You're on the sideline. I'm number nine instead of going number one.
No, you don't. Do you not know Colleen's anxiety? Like going for that, like it would literally crush her soul. It's not worth it.
Okay, all right. So you got a foam finger that instead of a one, it's got nine fingers.
I graduated in a class of 721 people. I'm okay with being nine.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Jack, what are
I
you
used
saying?
To be like, smart. You're, like, before the internet came around and rotted my brain, I used to be smart.
I don't think any of your kids end in the top 100. I know I didn't.
Well, it's I wasn't even the top 1,000. So, you had to show up for class to
Colleen was featured in books because, again, there's nothing to do on Long Island and there's books of like the top students or something that your parents bought. It's really cool.
It's the what National Honor Society or whatever thing. My name is in it. It is in it. Yes, that is true.
It's so cool. We show our kids all the time. It's great.
No, we don't.
It's like look at your mother. She was on this thing.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you that high school is a bunch of BS. All right, moving on.
But I did not graduate. I only graduated summa cum laude, not magna cum laude, where the highest one is, because my grandma's brother died in the middle, on a Monday, and I had to go home for the funeral, and I missed the next 4 days of classes, and one of my teachers actually deducted my grade and gave me a B, so I, by technicality, could not graduate that. I was very upset, and I still am. And whenever I see that man on Facebook, I give him a big F you and finger because it still makes me angry. Because there should
be
decency and compassion thrown into things, and the opportunity to make up a lost day for a death in the family.
Yeah, you don't hold that with you. You don't tell me that one all the time. All right, player of the game. Who gets player of the game? Is it Shanigan?
Yes.
I'm going to go with Ricard because he made the great point about the...
That's true.
I think Ricard doesn't get enough credit.
Okay, I agree. I think he made some good plays today. I think Shan's still player of the game because she made those connections with.
And plus, he has the best look, the best cold look. I mean, he'd be great at poker. You see him look, he goes, he doesn't blink. He doesn't show any emotion. He's just like, where Shan shows a bit of emotion. You can see she wears her.
She shows emotion in like kind of a manipulative way, right? Like
she does, but
just enough to make people feel for her and then trust her. Whereas Ricard is like, you know, that dad that you're like, damn, he's not going to let me get away with like.
Like Ricard, if he was listening to your story that you just told about your, you know, your grades and stuff, he'd been like this.
You still missed the 4 days. Like, well, it doesn't count.
Rules are rules. You should have said, you're dead. You're not going to know that I'm not at your funeral.
He goes, I make the decisions. She closes it.
I love that. I freaking love it. I love it. She's the closer. I set it up,
and he's honest about it.
Yeah,
you usually don't hear that where they both
and it's
they both are like it's a shame. As of now, it's a shame they both can't win it.
I think it's still Shan's to win because she is the one closing it. Right, I feel like she's the one that deserves the most credit.
But
because she's putting herself out there to actually execute the play.
Exactly,
but. I like the way Ricard's playing because that's a safer way to play.
It is, and it may
but
be
the risk
that...
is in the win. Like you win when you take the risk of like not being safe. Like you could go the dangerous route and then still become victorious each time and win. Then like you know you
Ricard's,
deserve the win.
Ricard's way to win is he has to kick her out at the right point to where he's the last one standing.
Right.
If he's there at the end. With Shan, he failed his gameplay because he is the kind of behind the scenes, setting up a lot of pieces, letting Shan close it. But he has to get her out before the end so that he can say, I was the brains of the operation.
Yeah, because no one cares about when you say, well, if you're there with the person you were making the moves with, I was the one making all the moves.
Exactly.
She just closed it. Everyone's like going to go, well, sure. I don't remember talking to you. You didn't talk to me. You didn't, because you hear that all the time. You never struck up a conversation with me. You never talked strategy with me. Like you said, I agree with you, Jay. He has a, at one point he's going to have to go. If he's to win it, he had, because she can take him all the way to the final three, and she still wins.
Exactly. Well,
isn't that last season what Tony did with Jeremy, where at some point he was like, you know, I got to cut you loose because, these are my plays, and I'm Tony, and I need to. This is my moment to take control. But the stars have to align. So,
oh, absolutely. There's a bit of luck. There's a bit of timing. There's things that are. Yeah, there's things that are out of their control, 100%, 100%. But I like Jack's pick here of Ricard to play the game. Colleen, you're Shan?
I think Shan's the player. I mean, she got the connections with Liana, so she basically has those three women on her side on that tribe.
Yeah.
Well, but Ricard was the one
that got a super advantage.
Ricard was the one that said, we'll put a fake idol in.
Yeah, he made that play. I thought that it was brilliant.
I said, that's a great move.
And then to get Jeannie to like go along with Shan calling it out and Jeannie being none the wiser.
Yeah. We just want to see if it's out there. And to me, I go, that's actually believable.
This is where I say for both of you, Colleen and Jack, I think you're both right. I'm going to go with Shan because I think to Colleen's point, she had the moment with, what's her name again?
Liana.
That was like an additional thing. But I think you're right, Jack. Ricard wasn't being braggadocious or hyperbolic in saying he is a very much a part of the strategy and setting up the pieces to allow Shan to close it. You saw it in this episode in terms of what he did. So I think both have a play to say their player of the game. But let's move on to GOAT of the game, lowercase goat. Who's the person that had the least impact, so much so that you just drag them to the end because you know they can't win? Colleen, who's your lowercase goat of the game?
Ooh, that's tough, because I would say Jeannie, just because of, you know, how many times she got the dodo music.
Yeah.
But clearly, you know, nobody else thought that. Gosh. Who do I drag to the end? I
just on today's episode. Just on today's episode, who would you be the one you'd be like,
Xander?
Xander, that's a good thing.
He's a dummy.
It was not great.
Really like Xander, but he's a dummy.
but he did win the challenge, though.
He did.
And Tiffany.
But again,
also a dummy. She's the worst kind of dummy. She's a dummy that thinks she's not a dummy.
Here's the thing. GOAT is not worst player of the game. It's the player that's so inconsequential you would bring them to the end because you know they wouldn't win, right? That's
then
what a
Tiffany.
GOAT is, right? Tiffany?
Then
okay.
Tiffany.
Jack, who's your GOAT of the game?
I say the mermaid. Because really, only time we see her is when she's talking about herself.
Yes, true.
That's such a great point. The only time we see her is when she's talking about herself.
I mean, it's just like, okay, we got to put her in here. You know, she's
she's
out there killing guppies. I got nine of them. We eat today.
Size of a quarter.
I mean, she was, you know, at least she was out there getting food.
That's true.
But it's like, okay, how much protein is going to be?
It's a shame she has no self-confidence, which, you know.
Yeah, total shame. And, you know, to that point, like, with the guppies or whatever, like, kudos on Nasir for being like, you know, bros, I lived without flint and fire. It is not, you don't want that. Like, there's no amount of throwing a challenge that is better than not having flint
and that's fire. And that's a great point because that one thing I do like this season, if you lose, there's more than just going to tribal. You lose your flint.
Yeah.
So I do like that rule. I mean, there's a lot of rules. I think they've screwed up the game a little bit, but
yeah,
I agree.
But we'll see. Hopefully they learn from
it.
What? No, I think they've screwed up the game with all these stupid twists and turns. And
I will say the advantages are getting kind of tough to keep track of. But I am very intrigued about how just unfair and one-sided this Knowledge is Power idol is.
I would rather see people like Ricard and Shan strategize and play the game than see all these different without the producers trying to twist the game to because you know what they did is they said, okay, this idol is going to be useless unless we throw it in front of somebody and say, hey, here's the damn idol, because one tribe wasn't even looking for it.
But I think that's the reason I like this episode so much is, so we have these advantages in play, and it was kind of cool to see the strategy from Ricard and Shan on how they were actually going to deal with all these different mm-hmm. idols. And I think that that was actually kind of cool. Like, you know, like, okay, should we pretend to do this or should we tell her that we're going to do this? And it was cool. And I wonder if other, I'm sure they've done it they've planned to do this in other seasons, but it's just failed so miserably that it wasn't actually presented to us in that way. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed seeing like how they kind of made that sausage to get to how they were going to address all those different.
And that's something we didn't talk about. If you're a genie, do you even tell them you found it?
Right. I wouldn't have, but
no,
I'm not genie.
Yeah, I mean, you're clearly on the bottom.
Agreed. Let me go in because now we're going to go into listener feedback. And first is going to be Sherry's here, which is a comment live on our show. What do you guys think about the fact that someone could steal someone else's idol and or advantage?
Well, it could be risky if you steal some, if someone has an alliance and you screw up that alliance by stealing their idol, they're going to be pissed at you.
But you made this season an idol that everyone knows that you have. So yeah. To then also include an advantage where you can steal an idol,
I mean, is pretty messed up. They said they can't lie. Are they going around saying, are they waiting for her to ask? You can't lie.
Lana knows.
Or does Jeff come in and say
that Xander has it?
Xander, you have to tell the truth.
No, I think that's what it is. Is, you know, somebody asks a question and then Jeff or the producer is like, now you have to tell the truth, and they know who has it. So you know, that person can't exactly lie.
But it's
hiding. They found it from the production members.
But you're playing a game with no rules, right?
There are rules.
But
yeah, there's rules.
But the rules could be you're supposed to be able to use the rules to your advantage, right? Is there a way that you could lie your way out of it? There should be a way to.
But when the text of the thing says they can't lie, then that's the text of the thing.
Before I get asked the question, I give the idol to someone else.
But how do you know you're getting asked the question? They don't even know this thing exists.
I know. Well, she'll probably tell us.
But why would you even give your idol to someone else when, you know,
they could steal it?
Hide the fact that you have it so nobody knows. Like, this works directly in her favor. You know what? This advantage actually, okay, this advantage was created solely because every single person knows who the three people are that have to say the dumb phrases. So now they have a chance to hot potato it and be like, do you have this? Like,
do you notice how Colleen's trying to like come on our side, Jack, and saying that I don't think it's like, dumb? You see how that is?
No, I'm just saying, like, I wonder if the fact that it's so obvious, the three people that have the idol.
Here's my problem.
Because it's so obvious, they created this, you know, knowledge is power advantage. And if you have it, then you can basically hot potato it from somebody else.
Well, here's my problem with this thing. You develop this crappy idol, right? That everybody knows you have. You have to say this stupid phrase or this funny phrase, however you want to point it. But this phrase you got to put at every time. And now, I can lose it after not having a vote, not having this. And now you're going to take my idol away from me.
Yep,
that's the producers having too much power. Mm-hmm. Now, if they had had were an idol where, you know, someone they actually had to figure out who had the idol, I would have loved that a lot more. But since they're just saying, okay, we know Xander has the idol, you have to steal the idol, you can take his idol from him.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean,
what's the point? Again, it's to me the show. I mean, I don't know.
You think that they are making things complicated for they're adding extra like life cards for the sake of adding.
They're throwing stuff at a wall and seeing what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And like, instead of going back to what made the game popular was the people playing the game. Mm-hmm. They put so many twists and turns into it. It's like,
to me, this season feels more like a board game where what's the stupid Fireball Island, where you have to like do a different thing each turn in order to like keep surviving. And it gets very confusing. That is what Survivor this season feels like to me, where you're like constantly like rolling a die or have the timer set and you have to do this thing. And
what are the ratings like? Cause I would guess they're down.
I mean, I have no idea what
ratings go. And I could be wrong.
But I know Twitter is really liking this season this week. This week they liked it. Because it was a really good episode tonight. Like,
no, it was a good episode, but to me it's like, okay, like I said, if I was Xander, I'd just be pissed. It's bullshit.
Right, it does feel very like throwing the steel and idol in feels like they're basically like, you know, the tooth fairy taking it out from under your pillow, but you didn't actually give it to her.
They don't like people with big nipples or
This is from TV Line. In the latest TV show ratings, CBS's Survivor and Fox's Masked Singer tied for the Wednesday demo win, while NBC's Chicago Fire delivered tonight's largest audience. Survivor returned to 6 million viewers and a 1.0 demo rating a TV Line reader grade of B- off only a little bit from its fall 2019 averages.
So it's down.
A smidge, but it's still winning its demo.
It's only 6 million?
Yeah, that's but just, it's... That's,
people
that's,
don't watch TV anymore. Like that's,
yeah, nobody watches TV anymore live.
Like Masked Singer only had 4.4, and that's a hit show. But okay. Since its target demo audience has a million... And also had a million. That's the advertisers what they want to hit. So it's not so much about like Goldberg's has 3.4 million.
I can't believe that show's still on.
The Conners have 3.4 million. Home Economics 2.2. So like that's still they pretty much beside just a little bit under NBC Chicago. Like what is TV anymore? Like Survivor's the only TV show I watch. So
it's it. I mean, I don't watch any. I do watch Magnum PI a little, but I'm so far behind on that.
Anyway.
All right. To me, it's just like,
I agree with you, Jack. 100%. Colleen, any other feedback? Did Maggie send anything in?
No, Mandy did not send anything.
Oh, Mandy. Sorry. I thought I said. Okay.
Neither did Aunt Tammy.
Which is fine.
Well, that's okay.
All right. So now it is time to tally the votes. Let's see our preseason picks for Genie to see what we said.
Genie!
Before the episodes, our season started. I said pre-merge. Colleen said pre-merge, so we get a point. Jack, you said merge.
Oh, man.
Wow, that hurts. Ouch.
So close, too, because she was right there. Right there.
Yeah, I know. But play or die, Genie. Play or die.
Close is only good in horseshoes and grenades. Anyways, okay.
Can you make it bigger? I can't see. I know that the people listening right now don't care if I can see.
Jay,
there we go. Made it like 300%.
You say that to Jay all the time, don't you?
Yes. But usually because I have my glasses off.
Okay. Colleen is literally blind. I can't see
very much, no.
Yeah. There's a reason she is attracted to me. It's because she can't see me.
No, I keep my contacts in during the day.
When you're at work.
Come on, he's a handsome stud. Everybody out there agrees with me.
Anyways, all right. Who he said was going home? I said Erica. Nope. Jack said Xander. Nope. Colleen said Sydney. Nope.
We all had the very wrong tribe that went to try to
look at us. There's no way they go again.
Listen, if we had the right tribe, we all would have picked Genie and we all would have gotten a point.
Yeah.
So the current tallies.
Chris said, there's an Arrested Development joke in there somewhere. It's always glasses off, hair up. Spoiler alert. Lights off.
Hair up, hair down, glasses on. You're up. All right. Who's going home for week six?
Week six.
Don't ever do that again. All right. Jack is up first.
I'll say Xander. I don't know Xander. How he's still in the game.
Colleen.
I'm going to say Erica.
Man, why are you stealing my pick?
Because I think we've been set up.
I'm gonna
so
steal
much.
Your pick, Sydney. Gone, mermaid. Gone.
You know, we can only hope that her boys did not come back and she did not kiss her one true love by the end of the sunset on the. Except in her case, well, no, I won't do that. That's really mean. But just know I was going to.
So, tally total, I have 4. Jack has 2. Colleen, actually, I'm sorry, that's 5 tallies. What am I doing? You are to the V for victory.
Victory, victora.
Winner picks, Jack, you still have Evie, which is your second pick.
There total you go.
5 points. Colleen still has Ricard, but my pick, I've been a Shan Stan since day one.
And you're kind of like a Jan.
Don't ever call me a Jan.
Marsha.
Anyway, all right, I think that'll do it. Colleen, there's a lot of people we can thank for this show existing. Many, including the ones that are in the chat with us tonight, like Chris, Elena, Sherry, Ro,
Carol.
Carolina.
Sweet Carol. Oh, they lost. Anyway.
Just don't try. It's okay.
Who lost today?
Bo Sox lost.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Braves are up, but Pollock scored 2 in 2 runs. I freaking hate Pollock.
Is it 4-2?
It's 5-2.
5-2.
This is going to hold up so well tomorrow morning.
So the Dodgers have them right where they want them.
Anyway.
As Sherry points out, Shan seems to have the winner's edit.
Listen.
He does, but like, can somebody fly that close to the sun so early on and fly so high and maintain it? Like, that's hard.
She is playing the chef's kiss game.
If nothing else, Shan is going to be like a 3-time Survivor player.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
There's no chance that the mafia pastor doesn't come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
She's fantastic.
Her story. She
be friends with her in real life.
Her mother was an addict. She became an addict, and then she got clean.
She wasn't an addict. She got in with the wrong crowd.
She said, but she got into drug usage as well. She was in a gang and got into drug use. That's what I thought.
Saying drug use. She said she was in a bad place.
Oh, I thought it was addiction.
No, it was gangs.
I know she's in a gang, but I thought there was drugs. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Came back from that. And it's such a good story. She has a great background. And I'm not a Jesus freak by any means, but it's still a great story. And then she's playing an amazing game, great personality, so much fun to watch.
I don't even know if she's a Jesus freak. I think she just, you know.
If you're like a pastor.
I don't know. I geocache regularly with a youth pastor, and he's not like that.
Keyword, geocache. All right. But I do want to thank especially our patrons, and most especially a select few patrons. Colleen, why don't you name them for me, please?
Why, thank you so much. I will gladly take the ball from you. Thank you so much to the patrons, especially the patrons that contribute at a certain level, and that would be Eckhart Rickner, Attack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with the Planet, Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JNJack.
That was pretty fast. Were you getting the wrap-up music for the Oscars and stuff like that?
Generally, when we do this for the broadcast, I give myself the wrap-up music at this point of the show. Okay. And that's why
it was just pretty fast. I mean, I don't care. It's usually
that's what it is. It's like, oh, my God, it's late. We need to wrap this up. JP is in the chat. Cool. Just turning it on.
It's 5-2, JP. It's 5-2. Oh, freaking love JP. He's my favorite.
Speaking of the broadcasts, if you would like to join us on Zoom on Tuesday night, Tuesday the 26th.
Hey.
We are actually having our annual live Halloween show. So come in costume. Ooh. Come with a ghost story or horror story or anything you'd like to tell. Super bonus props. Points if it
I could show my you. I could show my wedding video.
Sure, but you could, but it got taped over by a soap opera, so you really can't.
Here's the thing, Jack. You don't know how lucky you are that your wife doesn't have like her own podcast, and then you don't get roped into like showing up to her Zoom things at the dress up in costume.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I am lucky about that.
Come on, Jay, you gotta do it. Everybody else is doing it. You gotta be there to support me.
She was listening to an old Dancing with the Stars where we were driving. She goes, I miss doing that. I go, I don't miss Dancing with the Stars.
You guys only did it for like 10 minutes a week. So.
True. No, it's like 30. Well, it's funny. The one she was listening to, I go, you know, this show has been going on for 10 minutes and we've yet to talk about Dancing with the Stars.
think anyway. That's it, right? I think that's it. Are we done?
That's all I got.
Feedback, SurvivorJJC at gmail.com.
Yeah. And join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JayandJackGroup. Even though it may not be called Facebook anymore, because Facebook is the new big tobacco. And on that bombshell, thank you everybody for joining us tonight on Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. We do this live Wednesday nights at 9:15, unless Jack has to fix up his entire house in one night. And
subscribe to us live on YouTube.
And until next time, hasta luego and goodbye.
See you everybody.